I would like to still preach on prayer, and what better passage is there than the Lord's Prayer? It's a prayer that is directed to our Heavenly Father. It begins, "Our Father, which art in heaven." It has been well said that there is nothing that lies outside the reach of prayer but that which lies outside the will of God. And our greatest need is to learn how to pray. And let's listen to the master prayer, the Lord Jesus, as he tells us about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I was recently asked why we don't say the Lord's Prayer more often, and that really got me to thinking. It really did. I appreciated that question. And it was also explained to me that it's a comfort for those who've come from various denominations, and praying this prayer has meant a lot to them, and it brings them great comfort. And I can appreciate that. And I would like to incorporate the Lord's Prayer more often, since it is a blessing to so many. But before we actually do that, I thought I would mention a few things about this, and because I want us to use prayer in the right way. And so hear me all the way through this morning, all right? This is a prayer that who gave us? Jesus, right? The Lord gave us this prayer. He didn't give us this prayer simply to rattle off. As a matter of fact, he warned against vain repetition. So we don't say this prayer just because it's something we do, or if we think if we repeat it often enough, we would receive some sort of blessing from that. It's not a prayer to memorize necessarily, but I do pray that and hope that you do memorize it. But it's not something you say. Often somebody will say, "Well, let's stand and say the Lord's Prayer." But you know, you don't say prayers, you pray prayers. There's a difference. Suppose you and I are sitting in your living room and you say to me, "Say a conversation." You have a conversation. When you are with God, and that conversation is prayer. Prayer is talking with God. It's not just rattling off some phrases, even though they come from the Bible. Now, that being said, if this is a prayer that expresses your heart and expresses the exact desire that you feel, then you can pray these exact words. There are some places in Scripture, some prayers that I take in Scripture, and I pray them back to God. I pray them word for word. I might change them a little bit to make it apply to myself more. So if that's what you want to do and that's your heart's intent, that's fine. The other way you can use this prayer is as a model. Jesus said, "Pray in this manner," or "Pray in this way." So this prayer can be a guide or a lesson in prayer. I'm not going to talk about the whole prayer this morning. I'm really just going to talk about verse 9. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When we pray, "Our Father," what do we mean? What does that mean? That you and I can come to God and pray to him and call him Father. Three things. First of all, when we pray, "Our Father," we are expressing his nature. We express the nature of God because it is God's nature to be a father. Who is this to whom we pray? 167 times in the Gospels alone, Jesus called God Father. And so God is our Father, and when we approach Him, we approach Him as such, as Father. So Jesus said, when you pray, say or pray, Father. Pray our Father, which art in heaven. Now please understand that He is not just ascribing human attributes to God. We don't look first at ourselves and say, God is like us. That's not the idea. No. Divine fatherhood is not a reflection of human fatherhood, but human fatherhood is a reflection of divine fatherhood. You know what I'm saying? It's very important that you understand this, because some people say, I have a hard time relating to God as a father because my earthly father wasn't really a father to me. He was cruel, or maybe he wasn't there for you, or maybe he was weak and had maybe more feminine. And so you have a hard time looking to God as a father because of the example that your earthly father set. Could I tell you, get your eyes off that earthly father then, and get your eyes on a heavenly fatherhood, because we don't get our idea of what fatherhood is from earthly fathers. We get them from our Father in heaven. And then earthly fathers, hopefully, as they get to know their Father in heaven, they become more like Him. It's how we understand what God really is when we understand God is our Father in heaven. Every earthly father should look at the heavenly Father and try to understand and endeavor to be like Him. Now, not that we make God in our image, but that we might conform more and more into the image of God. It's not an analogy when the Bible says that God is a father. It doesn't say that God is like a father. It says that God is a father. It's not merely analogous. This is not what God is like. It's what God is. God is a father. And so when we pray, we first of all express the nature of God. His nature is to be a father. The second thing we express when we pray our Father is we expect His nurture. We expect His nurture. Now, there are a number of things that we can point out here about how God nurtures us. First of all, you can have the Father's care. The Father cares for you. I mean, your heavenly Father cares for you even more than an earthly father cares for his children. But an earthly father hopefully does take care of his children. And you see, we are God's children. And we always talk about our duty to God, you know? I have this duty to God. I have this responsibility to God. And we do. But do you know that God has a responsibility to you as well? As His child, He has a responsibility to us. He has a duty to us. We're His children. I mean, God is honor-bound to take care of His children. God has a responsibility to take care of His children. He's not going to go take a vacation to Acapulco and leave His children behind. He's not going to do that. He's not going to leave us alone. He has a responsibility to take care of His children. And we are His children. But I do want to say this. God is not the father of all people. Okay, there's this wrong doctrine that people sentimentally believe. They call it the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. But God, in a spiritual sense, is only the father of those who have been born into His family. Only those who have been born into the family of God. You say, but God is the creator of all. And therefore, God is the father of all. Well, God created roaches and rattlesnakes and buzzards, but He's not their father. He is their creator, but He is not their father. God is the father only of those who have been born into His family. Remember what the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12. He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power or the right to be called the children of God. As many as received him, they became the sons and the daughters of God. Only they have that authority and that right. And then in John chapter 8, in verse 44, Jesus was speaking to the unsaved religious leaders of his day, and Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." So that not everybody is God's child. You become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, very clearly, very plainly, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, he says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." So the only way to become a child of God is by expressing faith, putting your faith, putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God becomes your father not by creation then, but by conception. When you're conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, when you are born twice, when you're born again into the family of God, and then because you are his child, you have his care. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, "And behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." I want you to notice, your heavenly Father feedeth them, not their heavenly Father, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So now here's the logic of our Lord. He's saying, what farmer would feed his chickens and neglect his children? I mean, what farmer would do that? He's saying, look, you are my children. You're my child. If you come to faith in Christ today, you're a child of God. You are not a beggar. You are God's child. And God has a responsibility to you, and you have the Father's care. And I can't think of anything greater in the world than to have the God of the entire universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as your Father. The one that is omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, cares for you. Isn't that a great thought? Our God is a personal God. Our Father is a personal Father who is interested in the care of his children. The second thing is, you have the Father's correction. Now, God is a Father, and he demands and he commands respect of his children, and he lets us know when we do wrong. He's going to correct us. The fact that the Father may chasten me doesn't mean that he loves me. Quite the opposite, it means that he does love me. It means that God loves me so much that he won't allow me to live in sin and do things that he knows that are harmful to my life. Here's a little boy, he's out playing in the yard. Actually, he's out playing in the mud. And he's covered with mud from head to toe. His father sees him. His father might go out in the yard and take a hose and just hose him off before he lets him come into the house, right? Now, it's not that the little boy that the father's rejecting. It's the dirt. It's the dirt that he doesn't want on the little boy. And so when God corrects us, child of God, when God corrects you, he's not rejecting you, but he's rejecting the dirt. He's rejecting the sin in your life. And God wants to clean you up. And sometimes he does that. He has that responsibility as our Father. The third thing is, you have the Father's compassion. You have the Father's compassion. He is a Father that compassionately wants to meet your needs. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him." When we say our Father, we are talking to a God. We are talking to a Father whose compassions do not fail. The fourth thing, you have the Father's companionship. You ever thought about how fathers and sons are supposed to get along? Read a story about a man who was a bookkeeper, and this was back before the days of computer. So this man took special pride in his ledgers. I mean, he had every entry just right. He had his office in his home, and the children were told not to come into the office. Don't disturb Daddy while Daddy worked. So one day this man was making an entry in his journal when his four-year-old little boy threw open the door, ran with all of his might, landed on his daddy's lap. You guessed it. Daddy had the pen in his hand. The boy hit the father's arm. The arm went up across the page, ruining his perfect ledger. This father said, "Son, what are you doing? Look what you have done. You have ruined my page. You know you're not supposed to come in here while I'm working. Look at what you've done." And that little boy, his lips started to quiver. Tears started flowing down his cheek. He said, "Dad, I just wanted to love you. Dad, I just wanted to sit on your lap and feel your beard." Well, that heart of that dad broke. And he thought, "What have I done?" And he said, "Son, I am so sorry. You mean more to me than these ledgers ever could. Son, forgive me for yelling at you. I love you." Father and son just embraced, talked about things that fathers and sons talk about. I just had a great time fellowshipping with each other. You know, child of God, I am so grateful that God is not too busy flinging stars in space and doing whatever else he's doing up there to control this universe, that he doesn't have time for me. That he doesn't have time for you. Anytime you want, you can go boldly into that throne room of God. Or you can look at it this way. You can crawl up on your father's lap, because Jesus said that we are to call him Abba. We are to call him Daddy. And we can go and we can get comfort from him, and we can fellowship with him, and we can rest in his arms. God is not so busy running this mighty universe that he doesn't have time to speak to you. There's not a time when I pray, "Our Father" or "My Father," that he is not ready to listen. Corrie ten Boom put it in a beautiful way. She said, "When you pray, don't wrestle, nestle." Don't wrestle, nestle. I like that. I mean, yes, we wrestle in prayer, but we're not wrestling with God. We might be wrestling with some things in our life. We might be wrestling against Satan, but we're not wrestling against our Heavenly Father. So when you pray, don't wrestle with him. Just nestle, just snuggle in to his loving arms. And then the third thing, as you come to God as a father, you exalt his name. You exalt his name. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now the word hallowed means to speak with reverence. And you must recognize the name, you must reverence his name, and you must rely on his name. What is his name? When Jesus said, "Hallowed be thy name," what name was he talking about? Now, this may surprise you, but do you know what the greatest name of the ages is? Do you know what the name above all names is? The name that is supreme. It's Jesus. Let me give you this verse. Listen to this. Hope it'll bless you. John 17:6. Jesus said, "I have manifested thy name." Jesus took on the Father's name. "I have manifested thy name." And right alongside that is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, where God has given him a name which is above every name, that someday at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There is no name greater than the name Jesus. And when Jesus said, "Pray, hallowed be thy name," he's injecting himself here into this thing. And so when you pray, you come to the Father in the name of Jesus. You come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we recognize the name, we reverence the name, we rely upon the name. John 14:13 and 14, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Jesus said, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. When we say our Father, what are we doing? We're expressing three things. Number one, we express his nature. It is God's nature to be a father. When we say our Father, we expect his nurture. We expect God as a father to take care of us and to do those things that a father would do. And when we say our Father, we are exalting his name. That's the way our prayer begins, just talking to God as a father. Would you grab your bulletins this morning and let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. It's on the front of your bulletin, and this is one I think that we can use here and all be in agreement. But when you pray this, I don't want you to just say it, okay? I want you to think about the words. Pray the words. May they have meaning to you this morning. Does everybody have a bulletin, at least one you can share with somebody there, you can look on? Okay, let's pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Could I have every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment? Just a moment. Perhaps there's somebody here today that you could not really pray that prayer because God is not your Father. He is your Creator, but he is not necessarily your Father. He becomes your Father through the new birth. When you receive him as such, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you see, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your sins. Not only were you not a part of the family of God, but you were an enemy of God. But while you were an enemy, Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. He died on the cross, and he bridged that gap then so that you no longer have to be an enemy of God. Oh, so much more than that. More than even being a friend of God, you become a child of God. And you become a child of God when you say, Father, I admit that I've sinned. My sin has separated me from you. But I believe that Jesus died and was buried and he rose again. And I believe that he did that for me. And right now, I put my faith and my trust in him, asking that you would forgive me of my sins and put them under the blood of Christ. His blood washes away all my sin. And I receive you into my heart and my life, and I receive you as my heavenly Father today. If you would pray something like that, even where you are at, even in your heart today, I can tell you that a transformation will take place. I can tell you this, that you become a child of God, and his Spirit bears witness with your spirit then that you have become his child. You become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You become a brand new man. And even though you may not know it, eternal life has been put into your spirit. Your body will continue to age, yes, but your spirit will live forever. And I wonder today, Is there anybody here, by a raised hand, you would say, Pastor, I'm praying that prayer, or I'm going to pray that prayer. And would you just pray for me as I do this now, and I become a part of God's family? And pray for me that I learn about my Heavenly Father, and I can have a great relationship with Him. Is there anybody here? Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm praying to become a part of God's family today. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Christian, are you here today and you have a need? You're a child of God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to the Father today and tell Him. Tell Him what your needs are. Nestle with Him. Crawl up in His lap today. Say, Father, here's my needs. You know what? God already knows. Your Heavenly Father already knows. But He's just waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to come and ask. He's waiting for you to come and nestle with Him. And how many of you here today, by a raised hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm nestling with God today. I have some needs, and I'm crawling up on the Father's lap. Would you pray for me as I present these needs to my Heavenly Father? Amen. 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 God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Father, today we do come. We come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask if there's anybody here today that still not part of your family, even after given this opportunity, I pray that you would work in their heart, you would work in their life, and draw them to you. Holy Spirit, work in their life. I pray, Father, for those that are coming to you today with needs, coming to snuggle with you and nestle in your arms. Father, we know that you're a good Father. And we come in the name of Jesus, asking, Lord, that you would meet these needs, that you would provide, that you would show your concern and your compassion. Thank you, Lord, for that. Maybe there's some who are coming today, or maybe this week, they're just going to want to come and nestle. They don't really have anything they want to ask for, but they want to spend time in your presence. Pray, Lord, that that would be meaningful. That relationship that they have with you would deepen as they do that. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We would like to honor all the fathers this morning, so maybe somebody would like to get the children back in here, if you could do that. And I'm sure they're going to want to be a part of this. And then I'm going to ask all the fathers here to come and stand at the front, if you would do that. You don't have to be a member of this church. You're a father. You're here today. Please come. As you can see, we have a dad's rip beer for you here today. So all the fathers, if you would come, please. Praise the Lord. What a great looking bunch of guys. All right. Could we stand? Could you stand? I'm standing. Could you stand? I would just like to pray over them today. And if you're willing, you might want to just stretch out a hand toward them and agree with me in prayer today. Father, I thank you for these men, these fathers. What a high calling you have given them. What a great privilege to be a father. But what a great responsibility as well. And sometimes, Lord, I know that the responsibilities weigh heavy. I just pray, Lord, that you would help each of these dads know today that they're not alone, but you as their Heavenly Father are being a father to them and leading them and guiding them and helping them be the father that you've called them to be the father that they are to their children and they need to be to their children. I ask that you would bless each one of these dads. I ask, Lord, that you would empower them, that you would strengthen them. And I also ask, Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, may they feel your presence. May they feel your power working through them, in them and through them. Lord, conforming them to your image. I pray, Lord, you'd build a hedge of protection around each one of these guys. I pray, Lord, for those that need healing in their bodies, Lord, that you would heal those bodies. I pray, Lord, for those that need help with their finances, Lord, that you would help them with their finances. I pray for those that need help with their relationship with their wives. Strengthen those relationships. I pray for those who need an improvement in their relationship with their children. Lord, work in those relationships as well. Do a mighty thing. Do a mighty thing. And I pray that each father would have it in their heart. That they would just stand up and straight and tall. Say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Honor them for that bold stand, and may that happen. May everyone in their house follow their leadership as they follow Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So guys, you can take a root beer, and then when you do that, you are dismissed. So God bless you. Thanks for coming.